It is Locked On Jazz for opening day of the Utah Jazz NBA season. We'll get you ready for the Jazz and the Thunder. I watched one night of NBA. I got four really big concerns now about the Jazz. All my nervous heebie-jeebies are back. And is there a change going on in what we saw in the NBA in opening night? The Lakers looked awful. We'll certainly talk about that. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, I'm David Locke, radio voice of Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. Thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, right here. Subscribe. Hit the little bell button as well. Get notified when we go live. We try to do this each and every day. Also, Ron Boone and I will be postcasting right on this channel for you after every game as well. So make sure you subscribe right there to Locked On Jazz and get postcast after every game as well. Ron and I will be going on the floor before games, about an hour before the game. We're either going to do that on my Instagram or my Twitter. I haven't really figured out where the best place to go live is for that. Watch warm up, see what's going on in the arena, talk to people. Feel free if you have any thoughts to let me know on that. Good morning to the crew that's already jumped on, to Bryce and Lee and Ian and Julian and Josh. Good morning. Great to have you aboard here early in the morning. So fired up for opening day. We'll talk about the Thunder. We'll break down who they are, what they look like, all those kind of things coming up for you as well. I will tell you, having watched one night of the NBA, all of my, like, yesterday, pure optimism. And then I watched last night, and I'm like, oh, God, these guys are great. And it was a stark reminder of the task at hand of trying to win a title has to be one of the most incredible things on the planet, because the talent in this league is overwhelming. So here, actually, I did see some things, and I want to dig into some things, and it's early, and I haven't done all the research. We're going to do some of it live together today, and we're going to watch this trend throughout. The first thing, quite honestly, that was daunting, and on an exciting day of opening day, I don't mean to be like be a downer, but if you watched last night, there were a few things that really should have jumped out to you. One was the size of the stars, right? The size of the stars. And what I mean by that is 7'1" Giannis, 7'1" Kevin Durant, 7'1" Anthony Davis, LeBron's massive. And then the ability of Steph, like that's what our, like we're asking 6'1" Donovan Mitchell to go play that game. And he's pretty capable. And we're asking 7'1" Rudy Gobert, who doesn't have those offensive skills, to somehow play that game. And we're doing this as a collective entity in a different manner with great depth, super talent, overwhelming you, style of play. But what happens a lot as this thing continues to go on, and it's why this will be the big question about the Utah Jazz all year long, legitimately, is that, you know, it gets to be star-driven basketball. And during the regular season, we're going to play quick, and we're going to get the early threes, and we're going to move the basketball, and we're going to get you into pick and rolls, and we're going to get Rudy to have his impact, and we're going to do all those things. Then we get into the playoffs, and people are good enough to avoid those moments against us because that's what we're so great at. And it was clear, like, oh, gosh, like, you know, hey, I'd love to face Kevin Durant and Giannis in the playoffs. I'm all in for that. That would be pretty great. Boyan? Like, who's guarding those guys? Like, it's insane, the talent level. Rudy's probably guarding Giannis. It's just incredible, the talent level that I saw. The other one is I do think there's a trend to pace of play in the league. I think there's something going on in regards to the way people are going to play this year. I think is going to be dramatically faster than it was last year. And then even more than dramatically faster with a vastly increased amount of transition three-point shots. Sometimes the games last night were just horrendous because of it. But just this wild back and forth, like Ron Boone goes and takes a nap because I'm calling action where it's like one pass three, back and forth. That negates Rudy. Our greatest strength is Rudy. And I thought I saw enough high-paced basketball in the second. After our break, we're going to take a look and see whether it's true. We're going to do an initial numbers search on whether or not there's something going on there. And we'll look at it in two different manners, one cleaning the glass number and one other metric. But I did feel as though there is what the Jazz did last year has kind of changed the game. They broke the code a little bit by playing with transition threes at a over 50% of their transition opportunities last night were threes. They ran to three. They still want the rim, but they ran to three. Most people are running to the rim. And the Jazz ran to three last year. And that, I think I saw more of that. I think we will see more of that. The problem with that is, you know, if you're running to three, pretty hard for Rudy to have an impact on that. And against us, I think that there's more emphasis to run to three than we're going to ever. It's going to be crazy because how great Rudy is. I mean, the answer is so undeniably true on what to do to attack us, which is that you can't, you have to attack us by taking Rudy away from everything. You can't like play pick and roll, involve Rudy, and there's a mechanism to attack us. You have to just try to take Rudy out of everything. And one of the things you're doing if you're taking Rudy out of everything is that you're playing it in a manner so that you're playing so fast and so quickly that Rudy can impact it. The other thing that jumped out to me watching last night is how, and now this is a little bit you're facing the Warriors, is how wildly spaced the floor was. And then I thought the Bucks were as well, and then I thought the Nets were as well. The Lakers, it's laughable because they have Russell Westbrook and Rajon Rondo on the floor at the same time, and no one's guarding Russell, and he was awful. And their floor spacing is horrendous, and LeBron's taking every mid-range shot and fadeaway three because he can't get to the rim because they have no floor spacing right now. And then if they do try to do it, they're posting up somebody down low like AD, and that's their way of creating mismatches. It was really bad for the Lakers last night. So we can look at it, and I'll cherish that for a few days and see whether it turns out to be true. I do think it's interesting. We'll touch on some more, but I can't help myself. Everyone's like, "Oh, it's only one game. Don't worry about it." Okay, if we play tonight, and obviously the Thunder aren't as good as the Warriors, but if we play one game, and in that one game, everyone switches everything 1 through 5 against us, and our offense stalls, and someone spreads out the floor, and everyone just drives straight to the rack and scores against us, we can all sit back and say it's one game, but those are our two weaknesses. Those are our two issues we have to deal with. And if somebody beats us at those issues, it's not great. And we're going to have it happen this year. And I'll sit here and say, that's not great. Because so to the point of which it's the Lakers only one game, it is only one game, except for the fact it's every single thing we thought was wrong with that team showed up on opening night. And LeBron and AD were great. So I would say, my quick reaction is they still can figure it out. There's 82 games, and they probably don't have to figure it out till April. But my point on them all year has been, I don't think they'll be that good. I think they'll struggle. I think they'll hit the game 60, be in the play-in race, and have to pound it for the final 20 games of the year to be able to make the playoffs. And I feel more certain about that. The fourth thing I saw is, was the floor spread. So the three things I saw last night on opening night with four of the best teams in the league was the incredible stars and the 7-foot stars. Number two was the incredible pace of play and the early threes. And three was, wow, was the floor spread. Wow, was the floor spread. We're seeing a change in the game. And these hit at, some of the reasons we're seeing the change in the game is we either did it well or we do it great, and we had the best record in the NBA last year. So that's, you know, this is what happens. All right, let's delve into some numbers because I, you know, wouldn't be comfortable without doing that in a day and see whether or not there is any signs of change in transition. We'll look at some median numbers and look at some things coming up. I talked with Mike Conley for a while yesterday. He's just been outstanding in camp. We'll touch on that. And then I'll take some of your comments or questions if you had it. And then finally, we'll preview the Thunder, a young Shai Gilgeous-Alexander-led team, which beats into one of the things we're going to have to figure out how we handle. We'll touch on all those things, look at some matchup numbers, have you ready for opening day. And remember, thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of every day. We're here and available for you free and on all platforms every single day. Today's show is brought to you by my good friends over at Intercap Lending. I had lunch yesterday with Steve Carter and a bunch of our clients. Had a nice time, and Steve just does incredible work. I said, Steve, I've been sending you so many people. Are they coming through? And he's like, yeah, we have been able to nail, get great opportunities for people. You know, he says, hey, people probably should do it now. Some of the rates are beginning to sneak up and are continuing to sneak up. So if you're looking to refi or you're looking to do any type of financial redo and whatever, it's a house loan, whatever, it is time to do it. Do it with Steve Carter at Intercap Lending. Intercap Lending is our preferred loan partner, and Steve Carter is our guy. He does an incredible work. I love, you know, just hanging with him. He's just such a mellow, good dude, and his work ethic is amazing, and the reviews that we get back are outstanding. It's a nimble company, hyper-responsive. They embrace change. They have a unique borrower experience, and our own loan officer is Steve Carter. You can reach him at 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 1904465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com. Feel free to email me first, and we will get you on board with a setup. I'll just email and connect you with Steve Carter right away. Make sure he knows to give you the Locked On Jazz corporate discount we have with Intercap, and we'll set you up. It's all Intercap Lending. Steve Carter's our guy. You can call him directly if you don't want to involve me at 385-885-28, but I don't mind at all. So feel free to email me first at dlock09@gmail.com. Today's show is also brought to you by Built Bar. What has Built got up for us today? I'll be Built Barring probably at halftime, probably before the game. Built's got a bunch of great things going on right now. The flavor of the day, blueberry dessert in a bar, blueberry muffin is out for the first time. And 100% real chocolate, 0% guilt. Rocky Road still available for you, cherry lime still available for you, and strawberry puffs, plus all the regular flavors of Built Bar with coconut, mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, raspberry, double chocolate, cookies and cream, and cherry barcia. And you know what you're getting with the macros: 130 calories, 2.5 fat grams, 4 net carbs, 4 sugar, with 6 grams of fiber and 17 grams of protein. Built Bar, 100% delicious, 100% real chocolate with amazing flavors, and the new one today is blueberry muffin. They're coming out with them at an alarming rate and giving you some great experience. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off. Hello to Blake. Hello to Ben. Hello to Robert. Hello to Hayden. And hello to our number one teacher, David. I hope you're actually good at teaching. You seem like a really nice guy, David. I would say you're our number one teacher. I don't know if you're any good. I'm assuming you're really good. Maybe I got a project I need your help on here coming up. Anyway, greetings. Ben's in the Philippines, by the way. Blake says that he's really bummed because he missed my opening. I told you so about the Lakers. Yeah, it's already happened, but it wasn't like right away. I tried to hold it off. Couldn't really do it. All right, let's get into what I think I'm seeing. So let's jump to a few. Let's play with some numbers here. And as you guys know, whenever we do numbers, I like to look at the median number in the league of pace. So let's go back to 17-18 season, and the 15th ranked pace of play team was the Denver Nuggets at 97.7 possessions. Let's go look at 1920, 2 years earlier. I actually meant to go one further back and didn't. And the Golden State Warriors by that point were up to 101.0. So we've increased 4 possessions. And then last year, in a funky year with weird practice and everything else, it dropped back down to 99.4. We were actually the median, right around the median team in the league at 99.4. So if you actually go back 5 years, which I meant to do, 16-17, it's not that much difference, but it was at 96.7, not 97.7. So in a 4-year span, what we had this jump from 96.7 possessions per offensive side to 101. Pretty big, like about a 5% increase in pace of play. Last year, we faded by 2 percentage points. I think that had to do with the season and truncated and all the various things. So preseason this year, and preseason's always generally faster, and this slows down as the year goes on. So again, last year was 99.4. Preseason this year was 104 possessions per offensive team. The year prior, preseason was about the exact same. So preseason, particularly when you get the young kids out for the fourth quarters, are always a little bit faster. And the year before that, preseason was at 107. So we're not like, there was a downtick last year, I think goes up. We saw this, there's always been preseasons about two or three possessions faster than the regular season. And this year, the preseason number was 104, which would lead us to believe that we're going to get back to the pace of play numbers of 2 years ago. Okay, so that's pace of play. Now, some of that can be impacted by offensive rebounds, and some of that can be impacted by some things of that nature. The other way to look at it is a really nice metric by Cleaning the Glass. And Cleaning the Glass is a paid site by former NBA executive Ben Falk, who does some really, really great things. And so if we go back and again look at 16-17, 5 years ago, to see what the trend is here, what we're looking at is a number that Ben keeps, which is percentage of plays in the half court. And for us, that's a key number, because if we can have percentage of plays in the half court, then what we have going on is we have Rudy Gobert having an impact on games. And so last night, the 76.8% of possessions were in the half court. So Brooklyn was in the half court. The Milwaukee, who was last year's one of the fastest pace of play teams, was only in the half court 74% of the time. And Brooklyn was at the high at 80. We only have four games. But just this is what I watched last night. So is that dramatically different? Well, if we go back to 17-18, 80% of possessions were in the half court. So now if we jump, let's jump to pre-bubble 19-20 season, because again, pre-COVID season. In the 19-20 season, it stayed exactly the same. 80.4% of plays were in the half court. And this has always been one of my things. Everyone talks about run. And I'm like, okay, that's cute and all. But the fact of the matter is that the league average is about 15% of all possessions are in transition. And so it's great that you want to run all the time, but you better be really, really good at what you're doing 80% of the time. You've heard me talk about, if you're a longtime Locked On Jazz listener, you've heard me talk about this an awful lot. I just think some of this is overblown in what we see, because as I just said, like, okay, it's great that you run and it's important. Last year, plays in the half court were 80.6. So they actually were in, we've actually, despite this pace of play increase, we've actually subtly increased, very, very little, increased the percentage of plays that were in the half court. And this is when we're at our best. We're the number one defensive team in the league, in the half court. That's because of Rudy's impact. And last year, the transition number kind of held the same. It was 14.7% in transition. So last night, watching, okay, only four games, four of the best teams, 21% of all possessions last night were in transition, 20.5. That's up from 14.7 as the league average last year. Now, we probably, to do these numbers correctly, to kind of go, is what happens as the guys get tired and the season wears down and things of that nature. But last night, there were 5% more, less half-court possessions and about 5% more transition. You can also have putbacks or turnover. You know, there can be some other things that happened there. But that was eye-opening to me last night, that I thought we saw, in at least in the early night of action. And again, I have to, if I'm really going to do this right, you go back last year and we run some numbers just to start, you know, the opening month of the NBA season and see whether it was fast. But last year, again, pretty funky for us to look at. But it will be interesting, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, but I would keep an eye on that, because it did feel as though there was some pretty quick play last night. The other one last night is, you know, everyone except for Brooklyn shot 40% of their shots as threes. So last night, Golden State shot 41%, Lakers shot 41%, and Milwaukee shot 41% of their shots as threes. And so, and then Brooklyn was only at 32.6. They were just relentlessly attacking the rim. So was Milwaukee. Last year, we shot 36% of our shots as threes. So opening night, what I think I just saw, and I think I saw it in preseason, and I think I've heard enough talk about it that I'm pretty certain it's true. Accelerated pace, early threes. We better figure that out because that eliminates Rudy. I think we were only 10th best in the NBA last night. Or last year we were only, let's see, let me check our transition defense. 10th best in the league in transition defense last night. All right. I talked with Mike Conley yesterday, had an interesting conversation with him and thought, you know, look, I want to share that with you. I want to dig into the Thunder for you as well as we get going. And we don't have them yet. Today's officials do not come out till 7, are supposed to be posted at 7 a.m. each day, and they're not posted yet. So I thought we could say, I thought we had it right there, crossing over 7:10. I thought we had what today's officials were going to be. Today's show is brought to you by Sweatblock. Excessive sweating, those moments where you little embarrassed getting out there. Sweatblock's got your answer. And Sweatblock also has Sweatblock wipes. Wipes that stop sweat for 7 days. It seems people have been listening. Our Locked On friends have shared some things with us. We have a story about a high school teacher who put his pit out by the fourth period. He'd hear the snickers and whispers from the students, so he started bringing a second shirt to change in between classes. Then he heard about Sweatblock, tried it, hooked. No more snickers, no more problems. Hollywood producer, working 18-hour days in Atlanta heat, sweat block, started trying it, loves it, no more sweaty production days. And just an athlete, pitting out all the time, practice, things of that nature. So stop excessive sweating for up to 7 days per use. Doctor created, doctor recommended. It's the dry shirt guarantee. It's from sweat block. Chest, back, feet can also work as well with the wipes. Use the promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com and get 20% off. That's sweatblock.com and get 20% off. All right, betonline.ag. If you want to get into the action, they're back and better than ever. Number one spot for all basketball and football action this season. And a 50% welcome bonus for you with the promo code LOCKEDON. Whether it's basketball, football, baseball, you're betting these baseball games, you'd be going crazy. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online where the game starts. Final day to get your over-under bets in. Play tonight's game. Will the Jazz come out in front of a packed house of normalcy and rock it against an undermanned Thunder team who doesn't know they're not supposed to be good yet, so they're going to come out with all their juice? Jazz are a 12-point favorite tonight, largest favorites across the board. Warriors and Clippers, that's got to be tomorrow. They can't ask that is tomorrow. Tonight, Suns are 6-point favorites against the Nuggets. The Blazers are 5-point favorites against the Suns. The Spurs are 6-point favorites against the Magic. The Timberwolves open against the Rockets, 5.5. Pelicans, 3-point dogs against the turmoil-laden Philadelphia 76ers. Memphis is a 7.5-point favorite against Cleveland. The Knicks and the Celtics tonight is the headliner. The Knicks are a 2-point favorite there. Toronto's 2.5 against Washington, while Chicago is a 5-point favorite against Detroit, and Charlotte, 2 over Indiana. All right, so I talked to Mike Conley yesterday, and thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen today. Locked On NBA, 30-minute daily recap of the night's action available for you every day at Locked On NBA. Subscribe and get it. You can also get it on YouTube. As you can hear, subscribe and hit that button right there, and then join our chat room. I talked to Mike Conley yesterday. Really, he's been fabulous in practice. The thing that jumps out to me is how much he and Rudy just look like they're in concert with each other. And, you know, Mike had just the nicest things to say about Rudy. He just said, hey, this guy does all the dirty work, sprints the floor, does all the work, opens everything else up for it, and never says a word about it. Never says a word about it. It was really interesting to see. He's like, sets picks. Talk about how he and Rudy are beginning to get eye contact, little hand motions to understand what Mike wants going into a pick. More and more over the time. And if you think about it, you know, they're 3 years in trying to learn each other. And he's like, hey, sometimes I can be dribbling, just give him a little hand motion that might mean, you know, flip the pick. I give an eye nod or something. We're just making they're communicating quicker, better, faster, and are in concert in what they're doing on the floor. Physically, he added a bunch of kind of weightlifting and yoga and things of that nature. He believes he can continue through the season, which is not something he's done a great deal in the past. And so that'll be new for him. He feels great. He says, I'm not popping Advil. I'm not taking any painkillers. I'm not doing it. My body feels super. And his legs look great underneath him right now. So Mike really looks. And then the last one that Mike and I talked about is that he chose to come back. And as Mike's talked about, he said he just realized how much he was going to miss out on and lose in the journey he was a part of if he were to have left. And it's, if you just kind of think of that psychologically, well, okay, now I'm choosing to be here. I know what I would leave. I'm a part of this. I've committed. I better make it work. Like, he's always been bought in, but I think there's a higher level of buy-in with Mike Conley right now, or at least of ownership to what's taking place with Mike right now. And it's pretty great to see from him. And I think we should expect a monster season. I don't think he'll play back-to-back. So, early on, we're going to, that Saturday, Sunday at Chicago, Milwaukee will be the first time we see him sit. And then we go Miami, Orlando back to back, and we'll see him sit. But I think that's going to help him. And I think the other key would be, can we get him, how many nights can Mike play under 30 minutes? Like, I think that'll be a huge one for us to keep an eye on, is are there guys that can take under 30 minutes? Our officials tonight are Zach Zarba, Mark Lindsay, and Ray Acosta. That's a pretty darn good crew. Zach Zarba might be the best official out there in the league. Mark Lindsay and Ray Acosta are our officials tonight. That's a veteran crew. 18th year for Zach Zarba, having called over 1,000 NBA games. Mark Lindsay's in his 15th season, having called 780 games. And Ray Acosta is in his fourth season out of Central Florida. So he's the youngster of the group. And his favorite musician is Michael Jackson. So there can be nothing wrong with that. All right, little tidbits and fun notes you just wouldn't get anywhere else. The other one is, let's get you ready for the Thunder. Obviously, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the story. He's an incredible 6'6", 180-pound guard. He hasn't played since March 22nd last year when he only played 35 games. Interesting little note, if he and Mike Conley match up, both their parents competed in the 92 Olympics. Gilgeous-Alexander went over 30 in 10 of his 35 games last year. Was an 11-point-a-game scorer of the Clippers, then went 19 last year, averaged 24 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists while having a 50-40-80. He's absolutely fabulous. Royce will get that opening assignment. Last year in one game, Gilgeous-Alexander was 1 of 4 against him. He was just 3 of 8 against Rudy. Lou Dort is their next guy. He averaged 14 points a game. He's only 6'3". He was the Jazz killer last year. He had 42 in one game, 26 in the other, undrafted. Started as a goalkeeper in soccer in Montreal. Guards the top guy 36% of the time, so he'll be going up against Donovan Mitchell. Last year, Donovan was 7 of 22 when being guarded by Dort, so not great, just 3 of 10. The year before, he was 2 of 13. So Donovan, in his career, guarded by Dort, 9 of 35 from the field, 4 of 17 from 3. So that's a big storyline coming into this game one. Boyan killed this team last year. Boyan had 23 in one, 23 in the other, and 22 in the other, and Baisley was guarding him most of the time, and he just torched him. And then an interesting one is that Mike Conley, of all weird things, was 0 of 6 when guarded by Theo Maledon there. Josh Giddey is their sixth pick of the draft out of Melbourne, Australia, 6'8", 205. He had a very good preseason for the Thunder, averaging 14.6 rebounds and 7 assists. And so they're going to be 6'6", 6'8 in the guard line, the ball handlers, against our 6'1", 6'1 guards. Giddey, both parents played in Australia. Joe Ingles reached out to Giddey along the way, said, "I'm here to help," and Giddey's never stopped reaching out at all. Cool little story on Josh Giddey. His sister plays at Oral Roberts, so they're out of Australia, and both kids are living in Oklahoma right now out of Australia. He's the 8th Australian first-round draft pick, by the way. We'll see Derek Favors. After his 10 seasons in Utah, he's in Oklahoma City for the time being. And then Pokuševski is kind of an interesting player, 7 feet, 190 pounds. Final 18 games of the year, everyone got excited about him. He's averaged 11 points and 5 rebounds while shooting 37%, so I'm not sure why they're excited. And Théo Maledon's their backup guard at 6'4", out of France, next generation of the French players. They have a rookie named Trey Mann, who spent 2 years at Florida, was the 18th pick of the draft, and they have another rookie out of Villanova, Jeremiah Robinson Earl. All right, that runs down who the Thunder are. That runs down who the Jazz are. Are we ready for opening night? We'll have fun with it on the floor before the game, either Instagram or Twitter. I'm not sure which, so follow me at both at DLock09. Postcast right here after the game, and then I'll be back with you tomorrow. It is Locked On Jazz. Have a good one. It's all part of the Locked On Podcast Network.